He's widely considered one of the greatest scientific geniuses of all time. A humble civil servant, he rose from obscurity to change the world of science and alter how we saw the world. He was known and famous for his theory of relativity everywhere. Only one problem: Albert Einstein's theory was fundamentally flawed. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and today on Thinking with Somebody Else's Head, Einstein's mistake. Well, he was obviously a great genius and a great humanitarian, but there was a fundamental flaw in his scientific vision that is mirrored in almost all science today. We'd like to address that in today's program. But first, I've been talking for a few weeks now about our upcoming International Congress on Analytical Trilogy, Analytical Trilogy being the name of Norberto Kepi's science of psychosociopathology. Well, our website about that Congress is up now. Check it out at www.trilogycongress.org. We have a great event planned, July 4th to 6, 2008, and an extra 5 days or so of activities at our hotel for those of you coming from out of town. So write me for more information on this, rich@richjonesvoice.com. You know, I've been doing this program for about a year and a half now and enjoying very much the emails I receive from you with questions or suggestions for topics or even problems from your own lives that you'd like help with. And I've been thinking about and talking to the psychoanalysts at Dr. Kepi's International Society of Analytical Trilogy about this for a while now. And I'd like to provide those of you who are interested with a special members-only program. At the moment, I'm planning a specific podcast where I sit down with Dr. Claudia Pacheco or another analyst from our clinic to deal with your specific issues or problems. You'd write to me, I'd open up the subject with an analyst, and the programs will be available only to those who've registered. As well, I'm going to offer a special class with Claudia Pacheco via telephone, on fundamental points of Kepi's science of psychosociopathology that will help you understand yourself and others and the world we live in much better. It's a pretty exciting service because of the work we're doing here in Brazil. It's having some impressive results in education, coaching, self-development, and of course, psychoanalysis. So I'm sketching it all out now, and I'll have a finished offer for you very soon, but I'd like you to register with me for more information so I can send the finished program information to you personally when it's all together. Just write me rich@richjonesvoice.com, okay? Today, science. Einstein. Cesar Sauce joins me from our Department of Trilogical Energetics. Cesar, I guess we all know the formula. E equals mc squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Well, we all know the theory, at least the formula for it, but most of us have no clue how it's relevant. Explain that for us. What's the real relevance of E equals mc squared in our day-to-day life?
Well, first of all, Einstein belongs to a generation of scientists who are extremely materialistic because he belongs to the 20th century, and 20th century is the beginning of the positivistic science too. Einstein, despite the fact he was considered a spiritual scientist because he believed in God and he was a pacifist and many things like that, but his theories are markedly materialistic. And this formula you just mentioned, E equals mc squared, reveals that matter is convertible into energy and vice versa. That's what it means. Before Einstein, people didn't know matter could have so much energy stored in it. After Einstein, people start to think that matter itself could contain huge amounts of energy that could be used for different purposes.
That the matter contains the energy. And this impacts us in many ways in a sort of day-to-day experience. Talk a bit about that.
Well, the best way to approach this is at the time of Einstein, when he formulated his theory of relativity in 1905. There was another great inventor called Nikola Tesla. And Nikola Tesla believed in the existence of an energy which permeates the entire universe. Even in places where there is no matter present, you would have energy. And in principle, for Tesla, this would be possible to to harness this energy of the space and transfer it into a useful form of energy.
For Einstein, there was no energy out there. The only energy was the energy that was contained within matter, as he saw it?
Yes, with the Einstein's theory, the idea of nothing in science was established. And this is a big mistake, because the nothing doesn't exist, right? And so the only way for you to extract useful energy should be having a material source as a means to convert it into energy, right?
This is according to Einstein, not according to Norberto Kepi, right?
Yes, of course.
The only way to get energy for Einstein was from the material, because that's what the whole theory is about.
Yes.
Explain the relevance of this.
The relevance of this, Richard, is amazing, because, for example, you stop thinking about space travel at first, because imagine if you want to go to Mars, for example, which is very far from here. You should have a spaceship with a tank of combustible big enough the size almost of a country, because you would have to convert that material, combustible, into energy to propel that spacecraft.
But they do have spacecraft that go to Mars.
Yeah, we do have spacecraft that goes to Mars, but we still use combustible, material combustibles, or the energy from the sun.
But you were saying that you need a amount of combustible equivalent to a country. They don't have that when they go on a spacecraft, do they? How do they do it?
Well, they try to develop stronger combustible forms, even atomic energy. The idea would be always to extract energy from stronger and stronger materials developed in laboratory or existent in nature.
Now, also, in terms of taking energy from matter, we can see our incredible mania in the world to extract more and more petroleum, firewood, any place where we can get energy, right?
Yeah, the very consequence of this theory is that our governments, they are destroying our planet with the excuse of acquiring energy for the people. And this we can see very clear, because we have nuclear waste by the use of uranium or plutonium or whatever radioactive material. We are causing the deforestation of many forests today to use timber or even coal. We are extracting a lot of material from our soil, and this is causing huge problems in terms of ecology. And also the fossil combustibles, they are like depleting our ozone layer,
contributing to global warming, all of these things.
Yes, there is no doubt we are in a crisis, not of energy, because the universe is energy, according to Dr. Kepi now, and according to Tesla in the beginning of the century too. But we are in a crisis of how to understand energy, how to extract this energy, useful energy, from other sources, clean sources.
Dr. Kepi says in his book, The New Physics, and we should enter this because he is redefining how physics will be understood for the next many, 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 many years. He said that, "I believe that the greatest and most fundamental mistake made by physicists is the idea that energy derives from matter."
Exactly.
Note that Einstein reasoned erroneously in believing that energy is a byproduct of matter. Let's just go into that a little bit. What is Kepi saying there?
This started also a run for the discovery of how nature works through particles. All the forces of nature should be ultimately connected to particles. And so we spend billions of dollars in accelerators of particles trying to find the essential particles responsible for the forces of nature. And this is, it's not so. It's not the way it works. Because even these particles, they are a byproduct of this space energy, which is immaterial. And that's what the scientists today are missing.
Yeah, I guess we could say it this way, Cesar, that if energy comes from matter, where does matter come from?
Exactly. Today, the view, according to quantum physics, is that the space is full of energy. They call it zero-point energy, right? But even if for them this energy even if it's immaterial in the vacuum, they consider it to be a virtual matter. But they do not accept the fact that it's not matter, it's energy. And energy itself produces matter. It can convert itself into matter or not. So matter is just a tiny, tiny, tiny a part of the energy.
Kepi says that he believes that energetic power originates in space, and this energy sustains and moves the solar systems and galaxies as if the universe had a kind of soul. Give us Kepi's summary of how he sees this energy.
The Newtonian view was that gravity derives from matter, from the planet. The planet has a gravitational field around and attracts the bodies to it. This is not like that. The universe does not maintain itself through gravity of the physical bodies. The universe maintains itself in harmonious movement all the time through the ages by the two components of this essential energy existing in the entire universe. The universe is energy, and the planets, they just flow in this, they move in this sea of energy, and the energy is keeping the planets in their places.
Talk a little bit more about this essential energy. This is a never-discussed idea that you alluded to, Tesla, but how does Kepi see this? Todd, what is this essential energy? Where does it come from? What is it? How does it work?
First, let's say that energy, the word energy comes from Greek, en meaning in, and erg meaning action, in action. So energy is to be in action, is action itself. So our idea today is that for you to have action, you have to have a source of energy. So the thing will move like a motor. You want to make this motor move, you have to have the socket, and you plug it in, and you get electricity from the socket and make the motor move. And we are not different, Richard. We human beings work the same way as a motor. We have to have a kind of energy, a source of energy to feed our structure, how to think and how to feel, to move, to do our actions. Because of this materialistic view, we tend to believe that the food is responsible for that. We need to eat food, so the chemical reactions inside of our body will be responsible for liberating this energy, and then we will use it, okay? But it's not so. In fact, we have thoughts, and thoughts is a kind of energy. Thoughts are abstract, you see. They are not material. And this reveals very clearly that the kind of energy that feeds our thoughts is also immaterial, because the energy must be in the same proportion as the effect.
This is interesting, because I was listening to an interview with a couple of guys talking about the mind and the brain. And they were looking at the latest theories of consciousness, where consciousness comes from. And you know what scientists are doing now. They're looking for the place in the brain where consciousness originates. But let me use and of course, this is not how it is, as you and Dr. Kepi are explaining it here. Dr. Kepi explains it with an analogy like this. He says, the magnetic field is not generated by the magnet, but is simply captured by the magnetized iron. In the same way that the energy that forms our feelings and ideas is not produced by the brain, but captured from the exterior.
Exactly.
This is a revolution.
People tend to believe that our thoughts are born in ourselves. No, they are not. Thoughts are born outside ourselves. We just capture them. We are like transformers of energy. Transformers, like a magnet. Dr. Kepi is giving this idea that a magnet just captures this essential energy, which is converted through the atoms of the magnet. It's converted into magnetic field. The same way the human beings, they capture the same energy, and he will convert this essential energy into what is characteristic of his essence. which is thoughts and feelings and human actions. A magnet doesn't have that structure, so magnet will produce only magnetic field. And so for the other things in the universe. Everything works like that, like something that captures this energy and transforms the energy according to its structure.
What are the implications of this, Cesar? What needs to change in our view of life and reality as a result of what Kepi is doing here?
The consequences of that, Richard, we must look much more for our psychological life, because our psychological life is immaterial. No matter how much food you eat, how good you eat, your thoughts will never get better because of the food you eat. You will maybe, of course, think better, feel better if you are well fed. Of course, this is obvious, but this will not increase your level of thinking. Your level of thinking is something totally dependent on you, on your psychological structure, on your choices in life.
On how you resonate with this essential field of energy.
Exactly, and how you resonate with them. Very good to make this point, because we are like resonator devices in the universe. In physics, we know that when an object is resonating with another one, this object will be in its maximum efficiency and minimum loss of energy. So the human beings are the same. The more you resonate with this energy around you, the more will be your efficiency in thinking and feeling according to this energy surround you, which is an energy of harmonization, an energy of organization.
Yes. Now, obviously, a magnet has no ability to choose not to be a magnet. In other words, not to resonate with that magnetic field that it captures.
Exactly.
A human being, though, has the choice to resonate or not resonate.
Another consequence is that you have to have another approach to what a disease is. Because a disease is a failure in this resonance. Is when you are not resonating with this energy, then you will have a failure in the capturing this energy. So you will develop a physical and also, of course, a mental disease.
And what does it mean to resonate with this energy? This is not just some benign, beautiful energy that exists, we don't know how. There's something specific about this energy, isn't there?
Richard, to speak about this energy has deep consequences in our form of thinking. For example, today we think the universe is a vast space with black holes and meteors going back and forth and comets. We feel afraid of going outside because of this materialistic view. The universe is sometimes chaotic. We are expecting also meteors to come and strike the Earth and destroy the whole planet. You know, there are a lot of doomy prophecies about this.
The sun will explode one day.
Yes, exploding stars and whatever. We have a very chaotic vision about the universe. In fact, if the universe is guided by this energy, we have to see that the same way life is being supported all the time upon this planet, the organization is also being supported everywhere in the universe. So planets are in the place they should be, stars, they are in their places, the place they should be, and the comets as well. If something is wrong, it's because it was caused by some kind of problem we created. So the vision about the universe is that the entire universe is harmonic. This energy means harmony, means love, if you will, means intelligence, means planned architecture. So the consequences for this also is that our body is structured according to this energy. Our body is structured to be healthy, not to be sick. You know, and if we are sick, it's because we provoked that. We are not fruit of a chaotic flavor of nature.
If we're going to be healthy, if we're going to be intelligent, if we're going to be creative, it seems to me that we need to be what we are.
Exactly.
And being what we are seems to imply a resonance with this essential field that you've been talking about. What would that mean in our day-to-day life? How should we be? How do we link with that?
There we come to Dr. Norberto Cappi's work, which is essential for that, Richard. We came out of resonance because of our unconscious. And for Dr. Cappi, our unconscious was brought by the attitude of running away from the vision of our problems. All the time we run away from seeing our difficulties, our errors, our problems, we reinforce this unconscious, which means that we go out of this resonance. So by not wanting to deal with your problems, you will kill this resonance with the universe.
Yeah, because you're inconscientizing. You're making something unconscious.
Yeah.
Because this, what we're making unconscious is actually driving us. And so if there's a problem we don't want to see, that goes to become something inconscientized, which then controls us completely.
Exactly, Richard. Think in a practical term, for example. Suppose you have a big pathology. Suppose you are a paranoid person, for example. Very paranoid, but you do not want to see that. The fact that you do not want to see that you are a paranoid individual doesn't mean you are not a paranoid individual. The others will always see you like that. So the only one who is unconscious about this is you. So you are the only one who will lose. So by not wanting to see your paranoia, you are diminishing your being, because looking at your pathology is to look at your reality. In reality, you are like that. So we must see the way we are, our good qualities and our bad qualities as well.
So anything that we don't want to see, Cesar, becomes an inconscientized part of ourselves. And I know from Kepi's work that this takes us out of resonance, pulls us out of resonance with the truth of ourselves. The truth of ourselves, then, is linked in some way to this essential energy field that you're talking about. I don't want this to sound too New Agey, so give us a scientific explanation of this. What is happening there?
Well, a scientific explanation is a consequence of what physics already discovered about waves. All ondulatory wave phenomena, they have resonance. Radios, they work like that. So fluids, liquids, they can resonate, matter resonates, everything in nature resonates. In fact, for quantum physics today, the vision of matter is that matter is a resonating, is energy in resonance, right? So we are resonating all the time. To be, you must resonate. It's an analogy. To exist, you must resonate. If you do not resonate, you are in entropy and you stop being. So, if you do not look at your reality, you don't want to see your problems, you are not being yourself, because you want to believe that you are something you are not. And by not being yourself, you are not in resonance with reality, because reality implies that you know how you are. And by escaping from this vision of your problems, you will be diminishing your structure.
And pulling away from this essential energy field, in a sense.
You would be like a bubble of nothing inside the hole.
Dr. Kepi says in this wonderful book, The New Physics, he says, when we say that the sky is full of stars, it would be more appropriate to say that space is flooded with essential scalar energy. Light and sound, smells, taste, and touch are transmitted through waves which manipulate external feelings, leading human beings to perceive these phenomena or not. Clearly, the will is involved, causing perception to become flawed. This is extraordinary. He's saying that the thing already exists, the thinking, the field of thinking, the field of emotion, doesn't originate within us. It exists outside, and we capture or not. And then that means that we can block or not this phenomena.
And that's why, Richard, in the dreams, we can see that very clearly. Dreams, you do not control. You don't control what you dream, right? And in the dream, you are like a passive in relation to the story, which is being formed, and you are a protagonist of the story most of the times. And in the dreams, you feel sensations like you mixture colors with sounds, with many different things. You are capable of doing things you would never thought you would do. But this is because of the huge dimension of energetic field we live in and our mind is connected to, that we are not able to deal with it properly because we are too much attached to this logic reason of the left hemisphere, you see.
In other words, our dream state could be our real existence if we were permitted.
Or at least in the dream state, we have more contact with the entireness.
Yeah, the possibility.
The possibilities we have. Many great scientists, they have the brilliant ideas during the dreams, and even artists.
Yeah. In fact, Beethoven used to speak about hearing God shouting in his head. He couldn't hear the music physically because he was completely deaf, but he could hear inside him. Mozart would write music scores perfect with no corrections. They must be capturing more of this essential field then.
This is for sure, Richard. You gave a very interesting idea that connects us clearly with what I said before. This essential energy means organization. It means harmony. We are in contact with this entire knowledge emanated from the very source, which most of us we call God or the Creator, who's behind that, who is intelligent, who is beautiful, who is good, otherwise we wouldn't be alive, right? And this energy has all of these properties. We have to stop thinking that the universe is something chaotic. We have to see that the entire universe is harmony. We live in a heaven. And if we are not leaving this heaven now, it's because of our rejection. For example, when we look at the state of the planet today, we are going faster and faster to a world catastrophe if we do not do something urgent. But when we look at that, we tend to see that these problems come from outside. We do not tend to see that they were caused by us.
True metaphysics, Cesar. You're reintroducing us to this metaphysical realm of being, of existence, of what is the universe, what is the source of all this. And this is a very important study today.
And if you see this creator, it's very, very, very good. We have to think about it because he granted us with huge amounts of energy, which has in itself all the laws of health, all the laws of happiness, all the laws of realization, creativity. They are all there for us to access at any moment.
But to access these, we need to see much about ourselves, and that's what Analytical Trilogy is all about, a science to help you make sense of the world. Write me to get info about how you can learn more, rich@richjonesvoice.com. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. Thanks for listening.